Holy Father in heaven, thank you so much for life. We don't have everything we need. Our situations may not be perfect, dear God, but no one under the sound of my voice wants to die right now. We love life. And Father, as we pray to you, we acknowledge you as the source of life. We thank you for Christ. Because of his sacrifice, dear God, our sins may be forgiven, the guilt removed, and we may live with the hope of a place in your kingdom when you come. Now, Father, as I undertake this difficult task of preaching, difficult because I am handling spiritual things and I am a sinner, you help me, dear God, by granting to me a measure of your Spirit. Let the Spirit possess my faculties, possess my mind. Speak through me that the words I utter may be words from your throne and not mine. I ask you, Father, in all your generosity, pour out a very special blessing on all our visitors who've come tonight. Let them be so blessed, dear God, that they will desire to come again. Bless those watching via the internet, Father. Touch them with the revelation of your word. Bless the Philippines. Bless every nationality represented by this congregation and listening via the internet, I pray. Let the world leaders make decisions that are right, because your word tells us in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. So bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject for this evening, under the deep blue sky. What did I say? What's our theme for the week? Freedom from fear. Now, going back to our very first presentation, what did we learn about the origin of fear? Where did it come from? Give me one word. Sin. Mm-hmm. Now, give me the longer version of sin. Disobedience. Now, to get rid of fear, we must get rid of disobedience and replace it with obedience. Give me the short word for obedience. Love for God. If that's clear, say amen. Now, the first night we talked about obedience. The second night we talked about obedience. Why should we change on the third night? Go to Numbers 15. Let's read from verse 32. Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. Chapter 15, reading from verse 32. Our subject, under the deep blue sky. When you found it, say amen. All right, not enough of you have found it. Numbers 15, reading from verse 32. May I proceed now? Have you found it? The Bible says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. Verse 34, and they put him in ward. In other words, they restrained him, because it was not declared what should be done to him. Verse 35, and the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. That's serious. All the congregation of Israel shall stone him with stones without the camp. Verse 36, and all the congregation brought him without the camp, and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pause right there. The man knew that God had said, do not work on the Sabbath. He knew God had said, all secular activities should be suspended on the holy day. He knew that. This is Numbers 32. He had heard God pronounced the commandments audibly in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. You see, God gave Moses a lot of instructions called judgments, precepts, and statutes. But the Ten Commandments God declared to everyone at the same time. Let me say that again. Moses was in the mount with God 40 days and 40 nights. In that time, God gave him numerous statutes and judgments and precepts, which were designed to help the Israelites understand and obey the Ten Commandments. But when the Ten Commandments were given, God did not give them to Moses privately. God spoke them out loud, and all 2 million Israelites heard God's voice at the same time. So this man, he had heard God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He set it apart. That man knew that. Despite his knowledge of what was right and wrong, he acted in open violation of the law of God, and he was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Listen to me. There are 7 days in the week. People always ask me, should I go to a funeral on Sabbath? Should I get married on Sabbath? Should I get whatever? And I say to them, look, there are 6 days that are secular. Pick one and be safe. Why burden God's day with weddings and funerals and whatever else people do? Pick one of the six. You will be safe. Leave the Sabbath alone. It's a holy day. Hands off, says God. So he was found gathering sticks. They brought him to Moses. And God told Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And the record tells us, and all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as God commanded Moses. Now, I told you a few nights ago, God does not like to punish. It is strange work for God. Listen to what God tells us in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. There's no need to go there. Just listen. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. When wicked people die, God's heart is broken. He is sad. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, God never gives us what we fully deserve, because it is strange behavior for God to punish. And I'm happy for that. Because when God decides to punish, God's hand can be heavy. Let me say it again. It is strange behavior for God to punish. It is natural behavior for God to bless. Can you say amen? And so God ordered the death of that one man. But he does not want to kill any more people. So he sets up a plan to save lives. Verse 37 of Numbers 15, our subject, under the deep blue sky. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. God tells Moses, listen, I don't want to kill any more of the people. You tell them, put on the very edges of their clothes a strip of blue. Verse 38. And it shall be, or verse 39, and it shall be unto you a ribbon for a fringe, that ye may do what? Look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. God is saying, I am giving you a visual reminder that the seventh day is the Sabbath and my commandments must be kept. I am giving you a visual reminder. This is mercy. Somebody say amen for mercy. This is mercy, because God does not, one death in God's eyes should serve as an example to all others to avoid what that man did. And so God says, put a riband of blue on the borders of your garments, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, and you shall look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Not remember some. Remember all. Not remember 9. Remember 10. I don't want to kill you, says God, but the wages of sin is death. That's justice. That's not cruelty. That is justice. God is not cruel. God is just. And so God tells them, put a strip of blue on the hem of your garment. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Every time you look at it, because you're wearing clothes every day, you will remember, obey me. It also is a reminder that I prefer to save life than to take life. Let me say it again. God is the God of life, not a God of death. You know who the God of death is? God with a small g, Satan. Listen to what the Bible says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil. Death was introduced when sin was introduced, and sin was introduced by the devil. God is not the God of death, he's the God of life. Satan is the small god of death. God wants to save life, that's why he sent Christ. To experience what God hates, that is death, in order that we may enjoy what God loves, that is life. If that's clear, say amen. All right, now let's look at blue. This tells us immediately that blue is the color of obedience in the Bible. Are you with me? Blue is the color of, you may say, obedience, is the color of loyalty, is the color of allegiance to God. It is the color of the law. Blue. Let us go to Exodus 24 and take a look at blue again. We won't see the word blue, we'll see the word sapphire, because a sapphire is blue. Exodus 24, verse 10, God calls Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and I believe Joshua as well, up to the mountain. And he tells them, you stay in this particular place, let Moses come all the way to me. Verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. Now, sapphire means blue. Listen to the word of God. And there was where? Under his feet. Now, what do we stand on? The thing you stand on does what for you? What does it do? Can you stand on water? No, what happens? You go right through. What does the water not do? It does not support you. Are you following me? I'm standing here. I'm not going through. What's that ground doing for me? It supports me. Are you following me? Now, the Bible says, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. What God stood on was blue. The foundation of God's kingdom is blue. Let me say that differently. The foundation of God's universal kingdom is his law, his commandments. They are blue. Let's go to Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel sees this vision. Remember, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Ezekiel 1, let's read verse 26. Our subject, under the deep blue sky. Ezekiel 1, reading verse 26. It's 25 after 7. I will keep my word and release you before 8. Do you have Ezekiel 1, verse 26? And above the firmament that was over the heads was the likeness of a throne. Read the next few words. As the appearance of a sapphire throne. Now, who in heaven has a throne? Tell me quickly. God. The Bible says God's throne looked like what? A sapphire stone, blue. The same color that represents God's commandments. When you think of the commandments, I want you to think of righteousness. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Let's read verse 172. Psalm 119, verse 172. When you found it, say amen, so we can move on quickly without being in a rush. Psalm 119, verse 172, if you have it, say amen. What does it say? My tongue shall speak of thy, finish the verse, for all thy commandments are righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. Everything God tells us to do is right. So when you hear, thou shalt have no other gods before me, what is that? Come on, speak with energy. Always speak with confidence, even when you're wrong. Are you with me? Speak with confidence now. Listen to these words. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This side, what is that? Righteousness. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What is that? Righteousness. Remember the Sabbath day. What is that? Righteousness. That's what God's throne is based on. The blue, which is righteousness. His throne was as a sapphire stone. Let's go to Exodus 28. Our subject is what? Come on, you're too slow. What's our subject? Under the deep blue sky. What book did I say? No, what book? What book? What book? God bless you, my handsome brother. Exodus 28. Let's read verse 2 and verse 5. When you found that, say amen. Exodus is book number 2. You can't have that much of a difficulty finding Exodus. Do you have it now? Read with me. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. That's what God told Moses. By the way, let me look at that a little more closely. We shall read it microscopically. Read Exodus 28:2 again. And thou shalt make what? Come on, make what? Holy garments for whom? Aaron thy brother. What two features must the garments have? Glory and beauty. Now, we are a kingdom of priests, am I right? Yes. So we must dress the same way. Holy garments. For glory and for beauty. Let me say it again. Glory first, then beauty. Ladies, let me talk to you. When you stand before your closet to dress for church or for work or for school, your first thought must not be, do I look good? Your first thought must be, do I look like a child of God? Somebody say amen. Amen. God told Moses, make garments that reflect first glory. And glory is the character of God. In the book, God's Amazing Grace, page 322, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes, the glory of God is His character. Glory is character. Your first question must be, do I look like a child of God? Not do I look better than every other woman in Manila. Do I look like a child of God? That's consideration one. Consideration two is beauty, and beauty is not that necessary, but God is a God of beauty. But God's first concern is glory. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Say amen for glory. Mm-hmm. Beauty gets too much press. We need to promote glory a little more. Now, let's go to verse 5. Verse 5. Are you in verse 5? Read with me. And they shall take what? Blue, come on. And purple, come on. Gold, scarlet, and fine linen. This is what Aaron's clothes were to be made from. What's the first color? Blue. Representing obedience. What's the next color? Purple, representing royalty, because God is king, and we shall reign with Him. Nobody said amen. We shall be assistant kings in the new world. Mm-hmm. What's the next color? The blood of Christ. What's the next color? What's the next color? White linen, okay, fine. The righteousness of Christ. So we have blue and purple and gold, and scarlet, and fine linen. Gold, of course, is faith. Those are the colors of the priest. By the way, those were the colors of the sanctuary. If you study the construction and the different materials, the colors were gold, blue, scarlet, purple, white. The same colors of the sanctuary were the colors of the dress of the priest. Let me put something in your mind to consider. Which meant when Aaron was dressed in full regalia, and you looked at him, and you looked at the sanctuary, what did you notice? They looked alike. I'm talking to myself. Nobody's listening. Every night I talk to myself. Listen again. The colors of the sanctuary, come on, stay with me. Blue, purple, gold, scarlet, fine linen, white. The colors of the priest, blue, purple, gold, scarlet, fine linen. So here we have six, and here we have half a dozen. Are you with me? They look alike. So when Aaron was dressed to go serve in the sanctuary, he looked as if he was going to church. I'm not getting through to you, or you don't like what I'm saying. Listen to me carefully. When you decide to dress for church on Sabbath, look as if you're going to church. Not a basketball game or the market. Dress as if you're going, look like a church person. When I was a boy, way back in Barbados, every Sunday you can tell who's going to church. They look differently from those going to the market. When I was a boy, the clothes you wore to church, you did not wear during the week. Let me leave that unpopular subject alone. Now, let's review the colors of the tabernacle and the priest. Blue, purple, gold, scarlet, fine linen. All right, which white? Let's go to Revelation 17. We will take a look at a woman that represents false churches. Are you with me? What's her name? Babylon. Babylon. All right. Revelation 17, we'll read verse 4. Our subject is what? Under the deep blue sky. When you found Revelation 17:4, say amen. Read with me, what does it say? And the woman was arrayed in, and having a what? Golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of a fornication. So she has blue, she doesn't have blue, she has purple, she has scarlet, she has precious stones, she has a golden cup, she does not have blue. What does blue represent? The law of God, which reflects His righteousness. Blue represents the law. Blue represents the commandments. That false church, represented by a woman, does not have blue, but has all the other colors, so it looks like a church. Are you with me? But something is missing. The law of God. My brothers and sisters, blue is the color of obedience. Blue is the color of God's law. Ezekiel 1:26, Exodus 24, verse 10. God is seen standing on a foundation of blue. His throne is seen as a sapphire stone, blue. Why? Because the law of God is the foundation of His throne. Go to Exodus 25. Let's read verse 16. Our subject, under the blue sky, or the deep blue sky. I see quite a few of you wearing blue. God bless you. I see blue, 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 blue. Where's my blue? I have white, the righteousness of Christ, so I get away with it. All right. Let's go. What book did I say? And then 5. Let's read verse 16. It is, looks like 20 minutes to 8. I will release you. Please don't worry. Let me tell you, I've written so many of my friends to tell them where I am. And I tell each of them, I'm thoroughly enjoying my fellowship with you. And I want to thank you for loving God's word. Exodus 25, verse 16. God gives Moses instructions. Here's what He tells him. And thou shalt put what? Into the ark, come on, the testimony which I will give thee. Now the ark was the place that represented the throne of God. There was the ark. It had a cover called what? The mercy seat. And right above the mercy seat was the Shekinah, a light representing God's eternal presence. And so here was the box. Here's the light. And the light is resting, as it were, on this box. In the box is the law. God told Moses, put the testimony in the ark. So that what holds up the kingdom of God? His law. Go to Psalm 97. Psalm 97, let's read verse 2. Our subject, under the deep blue sky. And I'll let you go very soon. Psalm 97, verse 2. When you found it, say amen. Read with me, what does it say? Clouds and darkness are round about His throne. Come on, finish it. Righteousness and justice are the habitation of His throne. Now, the Hebrew word for habitation is foundation. The foundation of God's kingdom is His law. You remove the law, and God's kingdom collapses. Blue is the color of God's throne. Blue is the color of God's law. Now, let us go to Genesis chapter 2. We're coming to the end, believe it or not. The Bible says temperance in all things. That includes preaching. No long sermons. People forget half of what you say, if not all. Genesis 2, let's read verse 4. When you found it, say amen. Excuse me. Read with me. What does it say? This is the what? Generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Keep reading. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew. Now read microscopically. For the Lord God had not what? Caused it to what? Rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. Read verse 6. But they went up amidst from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Stop. Until the flood, what did not happen on this earth? Rain. Rain never fell on the earth until the flood. Rain is the result of sin. Now, I don't like rain. I like water. I don't like rain. The Bible says a mist came up from the ground and just watered the earth. Beautiful arrangement. No need to shelter from rain. No rain fell until the flood came. You can read Genesis 6. Now, where does rain come from? What carries the rain before it falls on us? Come on, tell me. Clouds. Clouds. So if there's no rain at all, then there must have been absolutely no clouds back then. Now, when I woke this morning, I looked through my window and I couldn't see the sky. You know why? Why? Cloudy. Because I couldn't see the sky, what color did I not see? Blue. Now, the whole sky is what color? Blue. So God put us in an environment, long before that catastrophe in Numbers 15, where we could see all around us. A reminder, because God's throne wasn't just blue in the days of the Israelites. God's throne must have always been blue. And so God put us in a world. Everywhere we look, we see blue. The color of obedience. If Adam had not only seen the blue, but acted on it, we would not be in this condition today. My brother and sister, we live in a world that is covered by a ceiling of blue. Obedience. It is the condition of a happy life. It is the condition of a blessed life. It is the condition of a life which we describe as freedom from fear. Remove obedience and fear enters the life. Remove disobedience and fear exits the life and trust takes his place. There is no need for the Christian to be anxious, to be worried, as long as he or she lives in compatibility with the Word of God. The blue Word of God. The commandments. You and I live, what's our subject? Under the deep blue sky. A constant reminder. Obey me. Obey me. Obey me. Rain is a result of sin. So we have clouds that occasionally block out the blue. But when the blue of the sky is blocked out, it must not block out the blue in the heart, you see. Because the Bible says, God says, I will do what? Write my law where? In the heart. So God takes blue and puts it in the heart. So when you can't see it in the sky, it's right in here. Do you know if that's the only thing God writes on the heart? Blue, the law. He does not write the Constitution of the Philippines. He does not write the Encyclopedia Britannica. He does not write the church manual. He does not write your pharmacology textbook. He only writes the blue law, because all he wants is obedience. Somebody say amen. That's all he wants. Obey me. You know, people always argue, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law. Listen to me. One of the greatest expressions of grace is God writing the law in the heart. If he doesn't do that, no one can obey. No one heard me. It's my fault. Let me say it again. Grace is dramatically expressed in the fact that God writes his law on the heart. You see, everything comes from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It all comes from the heart, whether it's good or bad. When God renews the heart, he writes only the law, nothing else. Because before sin, all God has ever wanted is obey my law. That's all he's ever wanted. Before sin, that's what he wants now. That's what he'll want in the new world. My brothers and sisters, you and I must live under the deep blue sky. Obey God. Huh? Now, the devil can give you things as a reward for your disobedience. He can give you things. He wanted to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He has given to the Antichrist, or the man of sin, great power. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat. And great authority. The devil can give you things, but listen to me. Before you take your cow to the market, you make sure it is fat. Are you with me? You feed it so you get a good price. The devil fattens us for the kill. God makes us lean by removing the excess sins. You see, all sins, not excess, all sins. He makes us lean and fit. The devil fattens us for the kill by disobedience. I want you to make a decision right where you sit. Father, help me to live under the deep blue sky. Clouds or no clouds, because God has put that color where? In my heart. How many of you say, Father, help me to live an obedient life by your power? May I see your right hand? That's beautiful. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Help me to live an obedient life by your power. Why is it necessary by God's power? Because God's law is divine. And a divine law cannot be kept by a carnal person. The person needs divine help to keep a divine law. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, dear God. We thank you that your throne is, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. We thank you, dear God, for the reminder that we should put on the hem of our hearts, Lord, the color of blue, to remind us a blessed life is based on obedience from the heart. In the name of Jesus, dear God, I ask you to fill our hearts with love for your law, love for you, love for righteousness. As the Bible says of Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Let that be our experience, where we say, my greatest joy is to obey God. My greatest joy is to live under the deep blue sky. Even in the darkness of the night, let us see that deep blue sky. Bless your people, Father, as they depart from this place. Protect them from harm and danger, dear God. Give them a safe night's rest. Pour out a special blessing on all our guests. Bring them back tomorrow, Father, to hear your word again. And with every message we hear, dear God, let us be further and further from fear. Give us freedom from fear, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.